Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. It's been observed that often when people are in deep pain, physical or emotional, their minds and their speech go back to the language they first learnt. So they groan and cry in the language they first thought and spoke. Jesus Christ spoke at least three languages: Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek. And it is believed that more commonly he spoke Aramaic. On the cross and being in deep anguish, Jesus let out that cry in Aramaic, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why such a woeful cry? Jesus had already been rejected by his fellow men, the very people he came to save. And now, for the first and only time in all eternity, the very Son of God is rejected by his own Father, God himself. Here, for the first and only time in all the gospel record, Jesus addresses God as God. Never before had he used this formal term when speaking with the Almighty God. At all other times, he addressed God most intimately as Abba, Father. He even taught his followers to do the same when they prayed to God. So down the ages, they would say, Our Father, who art in heaven. My God, why have you forsaken me? Friends, do you feel an eerie distance in this cry? This distance started the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was going to suffer and die, yet his disciples could not wait up with him. It was dark, and they were too drowsy from dinner, food, and wine. Where were his friends? And where was God that night? And for Jesus, now torturously nailed to the cross, this distance turns into an ultimate separation from the one he loves and from the one who should love him. A total abandonment by his own heavenly Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? But his Father refused to answer his cry. Worse still, the scriptures show us that God averted his eyes from his Son. The Father turned his back upon his Son. Why this complete rejection? The scripture in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13 gives us the reason. It is because God is too pure to look upon evil. He cannot look at wrong. He does not tolerate sin. Friends, Jesus did not die as a martyr. Neither did he die only as an innocent man, wrongly accused and condemned. If he did, God the Father could have looked favorably on his selfless death. No, Jesus died as the Savior of the world. Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world. For our sakes, Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. So this is why the Father looked away. He turned his face because the Son had become sin. What a terrible hour. The Father rejects his Son. And in his greatest hour of need, Christ is forsaken by God, completely abandoned. Jesus bore God's rejection so that you and I might experience God's acceptance. We've been hearing that in the last few messages. Jesus took the evil so that we might receive the good. Friends, what an exchange. What mercy, what grace, what a savior. My God, why have you forsaken me? 20 years ago, I heard this cry here in this very sanctuary. Kneeling at the communion rail one weekday morning, a man cried uncontrollably, "What have I done wrong? What do I do now? God, why? Why have you forsaken me?" This man is a member of our church family, and it was really painful to see him so lost in his troubles. It had all happened in a period of just 6 months. In 1997, due to the Asian financial crisis, this man had to fold up his business. Hard hit by the market crash, he had to sell his house just to meet the outstanding payments, and even that was not enough to get him out of debt. And during that time, his teenage son died. The boy was killed when the motorcycle he was riding skidded and he went under the wheels of a bus. Upon learning of the death of his son, this man's mother, a doting grandmother to his son, suffered a heart attack, and she too died. And all this was too much for his wife. She plunged into a deep depression, and she had to be hospitalized. And that morning in church, when a few people tried to console this man, he cried further, saying that he had two young daughters who were devastated, and he hadn't the faintest idea how to care for them. So here was this man, a big man, usually quiet and composed, but that morning in 1998, all broken, in deep anguish and crying, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And friends, have you heard someone cry like that? And is there really hope for such a person? You know, over the years, from time to time, whenever we meet, I ask how he is, and his reply would often be, "I am still trusting God." He and his family have progressed in life. They still worship here in the cathedral, and they serve God. And when I last met him and his wife a few weeks ago, they told me that they are happily awaiting the birth of their first grandchild. And grinning, this man said, "You know, I am no more Lema Sabachthani. God has blessed me." Friends, would you now just pick up the Bibles that are in the pews, and would you turn with me, please, to a psalm, Psalm 22. Bibles in your pews, and you can find this on page 894, 894 in the Old Testament section. In this psalm, David, a king of Israel, speaks of the Messiah, the person whom God would choose to save the world. And more specifically, when you read the psalm, you see that it is about the crucifixion of the Savior of the world. And so it's amazing because David lived 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. And also at that time, crucifixion was not the practiced mode of execution. So when we read the prophetic details in this psalm, we see that they were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ and that the psalm points to Christ our Savior. And if you glance at the whole psalm, you will see that this psalm brings hope because it shows that victory, not suffering, necessary as it may be, has the last word. So let's have a look. Verse 1, if you are open to it. The psalm starts with the cry of a forsaken Savior. My God, why have you forsaken me? Well, these are the very words of Jesus as he hung on the cross. For our sakes, he was made a scapegoat. He was the sacrifice for sin. He was the forsaken Savior. Come down now to verses 6 to 8, which describe the sufferings of a humiliated Savior, one who was mocked. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Friends, these verses are so close to the account recorded for us in the Gospels, such that some people have asked if this is prophecy or history. But this was what happened to Jesus. He was ridiculed by the people he came to save. Jesus Christ, this is our God, the servant king. Verses 14 to 18 describe in detail Jesus' horrific suffering on the cross. And here we see that Jesus Christ, he is the crucified Savior. And if you would look at those verses, you'll see such arresting details. In verse 14, the protrusion of the bones of the arms, shoulders, and pelvis all out of joint. The intense perspiration caused by intense suffering. Verse 15, strength exhausted and extreme thirst. Verse 16, the hands and feet pierced. Verse 17, nudity, the gambling for his clothes, the desolate cry. Friends, Jesus Christ, this is our Savior, unjustly accused, brutally marred beyond recognition. And by his stripes, we are healed. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names. Friends, this psalm starts low, but note that it ends high, in triumph. Have a look at verses 27 and 28. You see there, all the families of the nations bow down before the Lord. Jesus Christ, forsaken. Jesus Christ, humiliated. Jesus Christ, the crucified Savior, is the victorious Savior. He conquered death. He freed us from sin. And God has highly exalted him so that his name is above every name. Friends, This is our God, our Savior. So this Good Friday, are you at some low point in life? Some failure, some disappointment, trouble, perhaps some opposition, and perhaps some very real health issues, and you are thoroughly exhausted? If you are, would you remember that suffering does not have the last word? In Jesus Christ, the last word is victory. So as we close, may I ask you to look at verses 4 and 5 of this psalm, and we take hold of this promise that in you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Friends, will you trust him today?